Today's shiur begins the bottom line of the Lamed Tes Amud Beis Maseches Bava Basra. Upon looking on the line, we notice a geometric form, and using the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition that you see on your screen, the Gemara markings system states that geometric forms create or signify a series, something that will be appearing in repetitive fashion. Here we have a series of legalities that we've also featured in our introductory comment found on the side of the Gemara under the heading Nosei Mivneh, where we've combined the topic and the structural explanation. So in our comment, we have a triangle featured. They are sidra, a series, shel talichim mishpatiim, legal procedures, she ameshutaf lahem, the common denominator amongst these legal procedures, hasheilot, the following questions. One, bifnei kama oisim, in front of how many people are these procedures that we, of course, haven't described yet, in front of how many are they done? And number two, ha'im kusvin alehem shtar. If you're present when these legal procedures take place, can a document be written testifying to the fact that the procedure took place? The words that you see in triangles, and we'll just recite them before we actually learn the Gemara, include 1. Macha'a, 2. Moida'a, 3. Hoida'a, 4. Kinyan, and 5. Kiyum Shtaras. In the fifth line from the top on Daf Mem Omed Aleph, there appears a simen in parentheses. On occasion, it's not very common, but on occasion, the Gemara presents a series of letters that form an abbreviation of what is covered in the Gemara. Most of the time, these simonim appear before the series that you're about to learn. In this case, it appears that this simon appears after the series. Therefore, the two mems represent the first two halachas that we just noted, namely macha and moda. And then you have a hey that corresponds to the third halacha, hoida. And the kuf would cover the last two halachas that both begin with kuf. Now we take a look at the Gemara inside. Omar Rava, Omar Rav Nachman, Macha, the protest that we've been used to in the last sugyas, this protest that an original owner issues concerning the occupier of his land, that he's moche, that he protests within 3 years. Bifnei Shnayim, we expect it to be done in front of two. Of course, this itself was a machlokes beforehand, when the Gemara has asked in front of how many does the macha take place. So, but Rav Nachman's opinion is it takes place in front of two. V'ein sorech loymar ksoivu. The witnesses that heard the macha can write it down in a document, and there's no necessity for them to receive instructions to write it down. Writing down the macha serves to improve, to benefit the protester. There's a concept, zochen le'odom shaloi befonav, that a person, or we are able to benefit people without their knowledge, as long as what I'm doing serves to benefit so-and-so, I can do that act of benefit, even without the beneficiary's knowledge. In this case, a written macha, having testimony in writing that the macha was issued, is very beneficial for the original owner. Hence, Ein sorach lomar ksovu. There's no need for him to instruct that it should be written. Moido'o b'fnei shnayim. The case of Moido'o involves a situation where someone is forced against his will to conduct a sale and to write a document of sale, all under duress. As such, the seller is not interested in it taking place at all. He would be very happy for the whole sale to be voided, but he's under duress. How does he take some kind of preemptive measure to have the sale voided at some future date? What he does is he issues a moido. He tells, in this case, the Gemara says, the moido b'fnei shnayim, he tells two people that the sale that I'm about to conduct, you should know, is I have to do it because I'm under duress. Of course, when the threat passes, then he'll be able to produce this document that he issued, this modah, and in fact the sale will be voided. And that's what it, and that's why the rule is, or the halacha states here, v'ein sorach loimar ksovu. It's not necessary for the person issuing the modah to instruct them, the ones that hear him say the modah. They don't have to receive instructions to writing it, because of course this is beneficial to the fellow under duress. Hoido'o b'fnei shnayim. This involves a case where a fellow admits he borrowed money. He concedes, he admits, I owe so-and-so money. And the Gemara notes, and the Gemara tells us, v'tzorech lomar ksovu. In order for his admission to be written down, the Edim that hear it had better receive instructions from the loive, from the fellow admitting. It is not to his benefit to have a milve b'shtar. Up till this point, before they write it, it would be categorized as a milve al peh, an oral obligation. Once it's written down, it becomes a milve b'shtar. And as a milva b'shtar, there are greater collection possibilities that arise that would thereby put him, the borrower, in a weaker position. That's why, sorach lomar ksovu. Continuing in the Gemara, kinyan b'fnei shnayim, v'eino sorach lomar ksovu. The kinyan referred to here is a kinyan sudar. It's a representational form of clinching a deal, most often associated with a sudar, a handkerchief exchange. And when the handkerchief is, when the buyer draws the handkerchief from the seller, or vice versa, when the act of handkerchief drawing is done, that clinches deals. The Gemara says that the witnesses who hear that don't have to issue, don't have to receive instructions for that to be recorded. The Gemara continues, V'kiyum shtoros b'shlosha. Kiyum shtoros is a situation where signatures on a document are verified or authenticated. In order for kiyum shtoros to take place, there have to be three dayonim present, and they sign that the signatures were authenticated in front of us. The Gemara continues. Omar Rava, I kashili, ha kashili. If I have any questions about the previous series of halachas that I quoted in the name of Rav Nachman, the following is a point that I want to investigate. Hai kinyan heichidomi. Regarding the issue of the kinyan, and we've used arrows here to enable you to find the point that was mentioned concerning kinyan a little more easily, just a few lines up. We also have a topic heading, the outside margin of your Gemara, under the heading Nosei, Birur Shel Rava, Rava's investigation. Lama b'kinyan sagi b'fnei shnayim. Why is it that a kinyan that takes place in front of two, first of all, it's sufficient for it to take place in front of two, v'ein tzorach lomar k'sovu. And now we're going to see what doubt preoccupies Rava. The Gemara continues. Hai kinyan hechi domi. I kemaisa based in domi. If the kinyan is viewed as an act of court, liboi tlosa. What would that mean, that a kinyan is like an act of court? This is explained in the Rashbam. Let's take a look there. Rashbam is found in the lower part of the page. Omar Rova, I kashili, b'chol hanoch dinim d'omar li Rav Nachman. If I have any question concerning the series of halachas that Rav Nachman said, Gabi kinyan l'chudhu d'kashili. Only regarding the issue of kinyan do I have a problem. Hai kinyan l'may medami le Rav Nachman. What does he compare the kinyan to? I kemaisa based in dami, umishum d'doyma l'din, shel dayonim, shemoytziyim izeh v'noysen l'zeh. What happens when dayonim act? They take money from the possession of one and give it to the second one. So too, a kinyan is responsible for transfer of possession of property from one to the next. V'af eide kinyan al yidei edusan sheroyin b'kinyan yoytse momon ze b'shasa kinyan miyara makna liyara koine umishum didomi lemaisa beisdin kom Rav Nachman ein tzorach lomar k'sovu. And because it seems to have the characteristics of a court action. Court action is powerful. You don't need to receive instructions to have such a thing recorded. And maybe that's the reason that you don't have to have the k'sovu instruction. Even though the writing of the shtar weakens the position of the makne, it strengthens the position of the kone, of the receiver. Even so, the witnesses who saw the kinyan can record this in writing without the express permission of the makne, of the seller. Kedin kol maisa bezdin. Shekoyach bezdin yofe. Bezdin is strong. Vehefker on hefker. And if they declare something unowned, it is such. As a result, lichtov kol hanase befneim. That koyach bezin is yofen, such that everything done in their presence can be recorded. Oh, so if you're going to tell me the kinyan has all these characteristics of a maisa bezin, the imkain liboy shlosha kikiyum shtaras should have a requirement of kinyan being done in front of three, not in front of two. Continuing in the Gemara, we're going to be reading again where Rava expresses his doubt, the line where the second arrow appears, Hai kinyan hechi domi, I kemaisa bezdin domi, liboy tlosa. If it's like a maisa bezdin, then three should be present. And we had just learned through the Rashbam to appreciate the parallel between kinyan and maisa bezdin. By the way, if you say it's Kamaisa Bezin, then I would understand the part of Rav Nachman's halacha that said Ein Tzorach Lomar Ksovu. There doesn't have to be an instruction to have it written. However, I don't understand why two is sufficient. E loy Kamaisa Bezin Domi, and that would explain to me why two is sufficient. Amai Eino Tzorach Lomar Ksovu. Why is it that the witnesses would not have to receive express instruction? We just saw in the Rashbam that this recording doesn't work to the benefit of the Makne. The Gemara answers, Boser Deboi Hodar Poshta. After Rava raised this question, he then resolved it. The Olam Lav Kemaisa Beis Din Domi. Okay, then I understand the two number is sufficient. Hocha, taimo mai the eino tzorach lomar ksovu. Notice how we have these words in a phrase marking. That's to instruct us to read it together. And here, why is it that it's not necessary to have the instruction of ksovu mentioned? Namely, that the witnesses can write it without having received direct instructions. Mishum. The stam kinyan liksiva oimed. This is a well-known principle. Stam kinyan. Stam kinyan sudar is there to be recorded. To explain this a little bit more, let's take advantage of the Rashbam. Rashbam says the stam kinyan liksiva oimed mishum. Dein li acher kinyan klum. De kevon de makne le besuda bifne edim. Ume maher lahaknoso miyad. Vi eno madcheu. At she yelech vi yimshoch ba metatalin o yelech vi yachsik be karkois. Since the nature of a kinyan is immediacy. You have the seller drawing the handkerchief from the buyer, and through the hanah that he gets in drawing the handkerchief, he thereby releases his item to the buyer. And no necessity for the buyer to go all the way to wherever the item is and draw it, take possession of it, physically take possession of it, that is. Or if it's a piece of land, to go and till the land to do a kinyan chazaka. But rather, they both rely on this kinyan sudar. It seems that the seller is also very interested in it taking place quickly and finally. As a result of this analysis, miskavenhu lahaknoisu b'ayin yofe, the seller is intent on transferring it with this state of mind called Ayin Yofe, with certainty and great willingness and openness. Umistamo roitze shiichtevu lo. And in all probability, he wants it to be recorded because he's coming off of this state of mind called Ayin Yofe. And the Rashbam continues to elaborate on this point. But with that, we will turn back to the Gemara. Rabbo v'Rav Yosef. We've underlined their names and noted an aleph over them. When you see an aleph, it means that you've got to see a bay somewhere along the way. And we always encourage those who are learning from the Shas Ozer marked Gemara marking system to not focus on individual words or lines, but to have the eye pick up the general scene as well. So you notice that after Rabbi Rav Yosef, Abai and Rav appear two lines later. On the side of the Gemara under the Nosei heading, we see Beis Deos al Mi Koisvin Moida. Two opinions concerning upon whom do we record a modah. We mentioned modah already on the first line of this amid. This happens to be a voidance or a disclaimer as regards a future sale or future legal act where someone feels he's under duress to conduct that particular legal act. So in order to preempt it from taking hold, he issues a modah. We're now going to clarify against whom is a modah recorded. Rabo v'Rav Yosef, the Amri Travayu, lo kasvinon modah elo a man the lotzayis dina. We won't record a modah unless the person against whom the modah is issued is a type of person that does not listen to the court. In other words, the person applying pressure to have the sale conducted, he's a kind of person that wouldn't respond to a summons to appear in court. Therefore, I have to have some kind of document voiding the sale. Because if you were dealing with a person that's amenable to appearing in court, there's no real need to issue the modah in order to void the case. The two parties could simply appear later in a court of law to straighten out the matter. We'll take a look at the Rashbam. Three lines from the bottom. Aman delo tzayas dino. Sarvon bedin. Someone who resists the court. De'i tzayas dino. If the other party is someone who listens, tzayas to listen to the courts. Lemo le. Lo anisat. The buyer in that case, who we thought might have been doing it under onus circumstances, under forcing the sale to take place, the buyer, again, forcing the sale to take place, he could say to the seller, hey, you were not under duress. De'i ka'anislach amai lo tavat le bedina. If you were under duress, so why didn't you take him to court? Therefore, according to Rabban Rav Yosef, the whole institution of recording modas is done only when it's concerning a person who's lo tzayas dina. Because if it was a person that does abide by court ruling, then the case could be brought to the court itself. The Gemara continues, Abaye v'Rava, the Amri Travayu, they both say, afilu alai v'olecha. A modah can be recorded even against us. The reasoning behind this you find in the Rashbam at the bottom. Afilu alai ve'alecha detzaisin ondina. We respect the courts. Roy lichta v'aleinu modah. That if we're ever found to be in a position where we're buying something and for whatever reason the seller doesn't want to sell. When I say for whatever reason, the truth is, because the seller claims he was under duress, he can have the modah recorded. Why? De zimnin de ein bezdin mezuman miyad. Because he doesn't have a bezdin available to go to immediately. So he'll at least have this document showing that the sale should be voided. Amri Nahardoi. As the Gemara continues in the topic of modah, kol modah de lo kasiv ba. Any modah that doesn't have the following text, anan, yadinon, bay, ba'oinsa de planya, we, the witnesses, are familiar with the nature of the duress that the seller was under, lav modah hi. So according to this halacha, it's not sufficient to say that this sale or deal or act was done under duress, but they have to articulate that we're familiar with the details of the duress. Then we're saying it wouldn't be a good modal. The Gemara asks, modal demai, a disclaimer, a modal, a protest concerning what topic? E de gita udematanta. If it's a modal that's issued before the giving of a get, or before so-and-so gave a shtar matona, gave a matona to somebody, well, what do you need to have knowledge of the details of the duress? Gilui milsa bi'alma, it's sufficient to know that it was under duress without the details. V'i disvini, and if you're talking about a modal issued in order to void a sale, v'ama rova lo kasvinon modal asvini. Modals are not written against sales. In order to appreciate everything that was said in the Gemara just now, we're going to take a look at the Rashbam, who offers a rather elaborate explanation. Gilui milso biyamahi. This was said in the context of a modal against a get, where a man says, I'm under duress to conduct this divorce. They're forcing me. The Rashbam says, Gilui milso biyamahi, klomar, harbe b'nei odom yuchlu leida oinsoi. The kevon dienu mekabel momon b'matona ubeget zeshenosein. Person who's going to do the get or who's giving the matona, he's not getting anything in return. Im isa denicha le litna midaito. If he was giving these things, either the get or the matona, willingly, loma lo limsor moda, why should he say anything about being under duress? V'i lo nicha lo litain, lama lo litain get umatana. And if he doesn't want to give these things, and why is he giving it? Elavadai nenas beget uvamatana zu. There's only one explanation, and that is he's under duress. He's being forced. Hilkoch ain't sorich lefaresh onso. There's no need for him to express, to elaborate on what the nature of the duress is. To lo domi lizvini. These cases of get a matana are not like sales. The hasam tzorach lefarish. There, if he wants to void the sale, he had better explain and specify. The ika lememar, because there's another side to this. Stam mocher, person who's selling property, let's say. Your average property seller, lo birtsono mocher, he's not selling it willingly, elamishum chisaron mois, because he doesn't have money right now, he needs some quick cash. V'hilkoch ikol ameimar, therefore there's grounds, there's reason to think, the mosar moido, he wants to void the sale in the future, the kosavar hayom lemocher kshuli mos, mafikna moido v'tavana le ladina, that when I win the lottery, when I get into the money, I'll be able to get my field back. And he'll give me, as I'll claim the return of the field. Vani ashale mosof, and I'll pay him. I'm not that bad a guy. I'll pay him back. So we're a little suspect of that happening. That when a person is conducting a sale, he's going to try all kinds of manipulations in order to have the sale voided. Could even issue a modal to that effect. When, of course, when a person conducts a sale, it's a sale. It's not something that's to be voided. Otherwise stated, he's not under real duress. He just needs some quick funds. Aval hacha, in the case of a get, in barotzoi nafshoi noisein get umatana baloi oines, if he were giving the gift or the get because he wants to, lama koisev moidah b'chinam, why should he have any form of protest written for nothing? Lo yitain get, lo yitzterich lichtov moidah. Let him just not give the get. He wouldn't need the moidah to void it. El avarai onasu, umishim hachi takinu begitin. And as a result of that, the Rashbam now is going off into the realm of halacha lemaisa, and he says, as a result of this, they were metakein in gitin, the lo lemichtav gita, that a get should not be written, ad sheyavotel habal kol moidoy shemosar, until he explicitly voids any modah that he may have issued. So as we've seen, we're not clear as to the issue of the modah and the din. The modah is not considered a modah unless we know the details of the oines. When do you have to know the details of the oines? If it's a modah in the case of a get or a matana, the mere fact that a modah was issued, that's sufficient to void them. So if he wasn't under duress, why would he be giving those things? Again, if he wasn't under duress, so why should he give the modah? Just not give it. And if we're talking about a modah concerning sales, but Rava says we don't write modahs concerning sales because we're suspicious that the seller is trying to void the sale, not because of any duress, but because he didn't really want to sell, he just needed quick cash and wants to get his property back. The Gemara goes on, presenting us with a long answer. You'll notice the tuff in a circle between the Gemara and the Rashbam with a long vertical dashed line indicating the length of the response. Li'olam dizvini. We're talking about a modah concerning a sale. Moidi Rava, Rava who just before said you don't write modahs in the realm of sales, he'll concede hecha de onis, where there is a true form of ones, ukemaisa de pardesa, and like the incident concerning the pardes, as follows: dahu gavra de mashkin pardesa lechavrei letlas shonin. It's a fellow who borrowed money and offered his pardes, his orchard, his vineyard, to his friend as collateral for 3 years. Basr de achla tlas shnei chazoka. After 3 years of use went by, those 3 years also happened to be the amount of time to gain a chazoka. Omar le, the malve said, I mezavnis li mutav. If you sell the field that I was holding up till now as collateral, if you sell it to me, fine. Ve'ilo, if you resist selling it to me and insist that you get it, that you get it back, kavishna l'shtar mashkanta. I'm going to hide the shtar mashkon, the shtar indicating that my possession of it was just as a piece of collateral. Ve'amino, and then I will claim lekucha hi biyodi. Now, put yourself in the borrower's position. He has his field that it doesn't look like he's going to be getting it back too quickly. Ki hai gavna kasvinon moido. Under such circumstances, we'll have a modah issued, even though it's a sale, it's a case of sale. And the modah will be prepared beforehand. And then he'll go and play along with the lender and conduct the sale. And, of course, be able to void it later by producing this modah document. The Gemara continues in the general realm of modahs. However, we're going to be talking about what's called a matanta tamirta. A matana given under non-public circumstances. What we mean by that, of course, will be clarified as we go on in the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda, hai matanta tamirta, a shtar matana that's written, literally written in hiding, lo magvinon ba. We don't allow the receiver of it to collect what's written therein. Could be that this was written in order to serve as a modah, or the matanta tamirta was written after he had given it as a matana or sold it already to someone else. Hence, the halacha of Rav Yehuda that a matanta tamirta, the one who receives such a shtar matana that was written under tamirta circumstances, which we will be explaining, is not collected. The Gemara continues, Hechi domi matanta tamirta. As you notice, we have a new geometric form as far as the sugya is concerned. Two diamonds, we notice, and between them, you notice a squiggle underline expression, Iko diamri. On the side of our Gemara, we have a note, Nosei Mivne. The diamonds are Shnei Lishonos be Rav Yosef, two versions of Rav Yosef, Lahasbir. Mahu matanta tamirta de lo magvinon bay. What's the nature of this matanta tamirta that we said we don't allow the receiver to collect? Omar Rav Yosef. Omar Luhu Lisadi. The writer, the preparer, the one who's preparing to give the matana, says to witnesses, Zilu Atmoru v'kasvule, hide, and in hiding, write the shtar matona. V'iko diamri, Omar Rav Yosef, deloi Omar lehu, tesvu b'shuka, sit in public, ubebraisa, outside, v'tichtevule, and prepare it. The first Lashon has instructions for them to go hide. The second Lashon has instructions they should, in the positive, be public. My Binayu, what would be the difference between these two approaches? Iko Binayu Stamo. The case where he didn't tell them specific instructions. He simply turned to two witnesses and said, sign, prepare a shtar, matona. Is that a matanta tamirta? So according to the second lashon, it would be a matanta tamirta. How does one make sure that it's not a matanta tamirta? By there being positive instructions, go public. Write it in public. If you lack that positive expression, write it in public, then it's a matanta tamirta. However, according to the first lashon that said, when is something a matanta tamirta, where he told them, go hide, if he didn't say to go hide, then it's not a matanta tamirta. Omar Rava Vehavya Moido lechaverta. Even though we said that one who receives a matanta tamirta, a gift under these circumstances, that it's tamirta, as we saw two lishonas to define that, even though one who receives such a matona cannot collect with it, with the shtar. Nevertheless, Rava says, it serves as a modo'a to mevatel a mechira or a matona prepared afterwards on the same field, let's say, to be given to someone else. So if you follow the series of events, you have a matana tamirta prepared regarding a certain piece of property, and then after that a regular matana or mechiras or sale concerning that same property. What we'll say is that that subsequent sale or matana will be voided by virtue of the fact that this matana tamirta was prepared for someone else beforehand. It's basically to serve notice that a subsequent sale should be voided. Omar Rav Papa. Notice between the Rashbam and the Gemara a note, a symbol, Rav Papa circled, and a long vertical line. All of these lines will be a point that Rav Papa makes concerning Rava's din. Rava just said that a matanta tamirta can serve as a moido to mevatel a subsequent sale or gift. Omar Rav Papa, ha de Rava lav beferush itmar, elo michlola itmar. Literally, Rava never said this din explicitly, straight out, that a matanta tamirta is a moido. Rather, it was something that people derived. They derived in the name of Rava, but they were mistaken. In other words, to say outright that a matanta tamirta is a moido to mevatel subsequent sales is a mistake. What are the circumstances that led to this mistake? Why did people? What happened? Tahu gavra de ozal lekedushe itza. Was a man that wanted to marry a particular woman. Omrole, the woman said to him, to this man, E kasvis li kulu nichsecha, if you assign to me all of your properties, havino loch liitza, then I'll agree to marry you. Ve'i lo, if you don't cooperate, lo havino loch, I won't marry you. Well, you have this fellow that was apparently very interested in marrying this lady. Ozal kasve lo lekulu nichsi. So he assigned all his properties to her. In other words, he was willing. He was willing to assign all his properties to the lady. Asa break shisha amale. His older son came before the shtar was written to the lady. We must emphasize that point. And the son said, that's Omarle, the son said on him, regarding himself. Sometimes in the Gemara you see statements in third person, but it's really regarding the speaker himself. Ve'ahu gavra, he says, and that guy, referring to himself, and what about me? Ma teve ole, what's going to be with me? If you assign all of the properties to the lady, I'm your son, and I'll be cut out of your estate. Well, this certainly had its effect on Dad. Omar lehu lesadi. So the father turns to witnesses before the shtar was prepared for the woman. Zilu atmoru be'ever yamina fekisfu lei. Ever yamina is the name of a place. Go and hide in Ever Yamina and write to my son that he will become the owner of my properties. In other words, assign my properties, my possessions, to my son. And the result of this would be that the shtar that the son has will predate the shtar that will be prepared for the woman. And with that, he'll be able to collect everything. Asu the kame de Rava. So you have the woman and the son. they came to Rava. Omar lehu, Rava ruled, lo mar kona, velo mar kona. Not the son, nor the woman acquire. Man dechaza savar, mishum dehavya moida lechaverta. Anyone who saw this story figured that the matanta tamirta that was prepared for the son served as a moda to mevatel the sale to the woman, the transfer to the woman. Veloihi. You cannot draw a conclusion from that case with the man and the lady and his son to a general rule regarding matanta tamirtas. Hasam, the case with involving the woman, milsa. Hasam mukha milsa de machmas oinsahu de kosav law. There, it was obvious that the property being assigned to the woman was an act done under duress. Was an obvious onus. Something that's as obvious as that a man is transferring all his properties to the woman. Something like that. Then we say that the matanta tamirta will serve as a moda. Aval hacha, where there's no tainus oines on the involving the second party, the second receiver. What do we mean? What's the case? A standard case where you have a man instructed witnesses prepare the shtar in hiding, and then after that event the man sells his property in a casual sale or a casual gift to a friend of his. You don't see any onus over there. Therefore, the Gemara says aval hocha, in a case where there's no obvious onus on the involving the second party, we would say more nicha le de likni, that the giver is happy with the second one receiving the property. Umar, the first one that he had said do this shtar privately. Well, lo nicha le de likni. He's not really happy. He's not really interested in the first party receiving the property. Hence, we cannot say, as Rav Papa maintains, we cannot say that a matanta tamirta is there to void subsequent sales. Ibaya leho, stamo mai. If you recall, in the Gemara, it said in the middle of the previous Omid, were two lishonos between Rav Yosef, in Rav Yosef, what. And when we were trying to define a matanta tamirta, is it something that there's a specific instructions to do it privately, or it's going to be a matanta tamirta if it's lacking specific instructions to do it publicly? The Gemara raised what would happen in a case of stam, and that's what the Gemara is asking about over here, where a person says, prepare a shtar, a matana for my friend, and he doesn't say hide. But at the same time, he doesn't say, write this publicly. Ravina Omar, lo chayshinan. We're not choshesh for it being a tamirta, and therefore it's a kosher matona. Rav Ashi Omar, chayshinan. He says that we should take into account, maybe it is a tamirta, because it was lacking instructions, do it in public. The hilchasa, chayshinan. And as a result of that, the Rashbam points out, the Ilchaso Chayshinon, the Lo Magvinon Ba. We don't allow collection to take place. Vehilkach. Rashbam goes on with a comment of Halacha Lamaisa. He says, Tzorech Lichtoiv Besoich Hashtar, that when you're preparing a shtar matona, you have to write the following. Vekach Omar Lonu, the witnesses sign, they write this. And thusly, we were instructed, kisvua b'shuka v'chasmua b'bora. Write it in the shuk, in the public place, and have it signed outside, in public. V'yaf agav delo omar elo kisvua loy. Stam, and even if the instructor never said this mamish, Shtar Matona Kemo Shetiknu Chachomim Ka'omar, that when a person says, write a Shtar Matona for me, what he's really saying is write it as the rabbis instructed to be written, namely in public. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.